We know that Christ ministered with the anointing of the Spirit. He did great and mighty things. And yet, in the course of his ministry, he said, "Greater works than these shall you do." And as a church, we need to understand our destiny in moving in the supernatural, in moving in the anointing of God that breaks every yoke. Because as he is, so are we in this world that is lost, this world that is going nowhere, this world that is corrupt, this world that needs Jesus. We are the hope for this world, all because as he is, and he has shared with us his glory, his power. What is Christ like? Well, he is the brightness of God's glory and the express image of God's person. What is God like? Well, just look to Jesus and you see what God is like. Never a man spoke like this man. He was a man of peace. He was a man of wisdom. Look at the character of Jesus Christ, our God and our Savior. And he is a man of peace. A man who's gentle, a man with confidence because he did the will of his Father. Full of grace and full of truth. Ministering, and we need to remember that whilst he was God, yet he emptied himself and became like us. And when he ministered here on earth, he ministered in the power of the Holy Spirit. And likewise, we too have the availability of ministering in the anointing and the power of the Holy Spirit. Look to Jesus. What was he like? Well, we know that his personality attracted people. I just had a thought. He attracted what appeared to be the wrong type of people. He attracted the prostitutes. He attracted the sinners. He attracted the lost. In fact, it was the Pharisees who were uncomfortable with the presence of Jesus. And I had a little thought. I wonder if Jesus would come in here, would we be upset? Or would he be upset because of a religious kind of spirit? Because he was radical. He was radical. The religious type wanted it comfortable. They wanted to play religious games and religious things. But Jesus was radical. As he is, so are we in this world. As believers, we live in a corrupt world, but the Bible says that we are to shine as lights in the midst of that world. This world that says that there is no God. This world that denies the existence of God. This world that has turned to the God of secularism, the God of materialism, the God of pluralism. But there's only one and true living God. I have come to know him. He is God. We are described in the Bible as salt and light, which means that we have an influence in the world in which we live. Unfortunately, the church, and I'm speaking generally, the church has lost her influence because of sin and apathy. If salt is to have any kind of effectiveness, it's important that salt gets out of the shaker and goes on to the thing it's meant to give taste to. You as a church are no good in the shaker. You need to get out of the shaker. Amen. You need to connect with that which is corrupt. And bring something of God's glory and peace. Amen. It's no good being in the shaker. You are salt and you need to connect and have an influence upon the culture in which you live. Unfortunately, the church has been influenced by the culture instead of influencing the culture around it. In its compromise, in its values, in its mindset. We're meant to be radical people who stand up for truth, amen. Stand up for truth. I was amazed to hear just this week, and I won't mention the denomination, but you'll probably know, but it was up in Scotland, that the bishop there, or the, I think it was the bishop, he resigned from the church because they were allowed the reading of the Quran from its pulpit. And he resigned in protest. He had to. I heard of one church of the same denomination, but thank God there are many moving in that denomination too. And they made a call for prayer, but the call was to Allah. Church, we are His people. We need to stand up and understand that all religions don't lead to the same place. In fact, religions are incompatible. Because Jesus was unique when he said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. But in this influence, this culture of pluralism, that all is the same and all is okay. No, Jesus is the way. Church, as he is in the world, so are we. So are we. And unfortunately, the church has lost its influence because of its compromise. And yet, God has a purpose for church, and God has a purpose for local church. I believe in local church. I believe in our mission to influence the world in which we live. Our works, our evangelism, our social programs, the things that Joe and Grace do, Brenda does their week by week up at Whitley, the bed for a night, going out there on faith on Tuesday nights, once a month. It's with a purpose, to connect with a world that's dying and to bring hope into that world. Amen. That's our purpose, is to bring Jesus into their world. Because in Jesus we have life. Amen. See, life is not found in Sharia law. Life is found in a person, a Savior. It's found in Jesus. Listen to Paul's words as he describes the purpose of why we exist as a church. He said, to me, I am the least of all the saints. Of this grace was given to me that I should preach among the Gentiles the unsearchable riches of Christ, and to make all see what the fellowship of the mystery, which from the beginning of ages has been hidden in God, who created all things through Jesus Christ. Why? This mystery, from the beginning of the ages, hidden in God. This mystery of this fellowship. Isn't that amazing? From eternity, God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Spirit were in unity, in communion with one another. Amen. That is why I believe in relationship, because of Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. And from the beginning, they had a plan because they knew the fall of man. Man, made in God's image and God's likeness, turned his back on God. But the plan was redemption. The plan was restoration through the person of Jesus, the Son, who would come and make a way of reconciliation. And that reconciliation has taken place. Amen. And we are now ambassadors to the world concerning this ministry of reconciliation, because God brings peace and joy into a world that's lost, and that peace and joy can be restored. What the enemy has taken, God can restore. Amen. God can restore. His name is Jesus, Emmanuel, God with us. And here was the purpose, to the intent that now the manifold wisdom of God might be known by the church to the principalities and powers in heavenly places. That is God's purpose. That this manifold, this grace would be known by the church to the principalities, to the powers in the heavens and on earth. I'm glad I'm a member of the church. Come on, church. God, give God thanks for community. God is in community. He was in community from the beginning, from eternity. Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. The thing that describes Christianity is relationship and community, connecting with one another. Amen. Now, I know you can stay at home and watch TV and get that God channel on and miss out on community. And if you don't like the preacher, you can turn him off. You don't get that opportunity here at All Nations. You cannot switch us off. Amen. Some of you would like to, but you're not going to. But you hear what I'm saying about community? Community is important. But we're a community not just to have happy little families. Our purpose is that the manifold wisdom would be displayed to the powers, to the principalities, that God is on our side and we can have an influence in a dying world. That the salt will get out of the shaker into a corrupt society. Amen. That's our purpose. And God has a plan for his church. To form, to fashion us, that we might reflect his goodness, his grace to others. You see, let's really get down to the basics. The only hope this world has is Jesus. It's lost. It's Jesus. And his mercy and grace proclaimed through our lives. That's why on a Wednesday, and we do need help on the Wednesday, by the way, ladies, if any of you of the younger generation, you have babies, and you need to help, you can come and help the program with mums and toddlers. Dorothy's done a great job. I think there's about 15 mums now coming from the local community. But we need the church to be out too, amen? I know some of you are working and you can't get out. But influencing those who do come, that's what it's about. It's influencing people. We need to take ownership of our lives. The purpose of his church is to reflect something of the glory of God. And taking ownership of this mission of getting the salt out to where it's meant to be, we need to understand our motive in getting involved out there. Why do we do what we do? Do we do it because it's about me? It's my ego? It's my image? No. I'm concerned about those who promote themselves, whether it be through Facebook or any other means, and it's all about them. It's nothing to do with us. It's to do with him and his glory. What did Paul say? He said, the love of God compels me. And that is our motivation in getting out into a dying world. The love of God that has been placed in my heart. The love of God that has been placed there needs to get out into a world that's lost. And thank God we have the means. We have the means in reflecting something of God's love to a dying world. And that means is the love of God being in our hearts. Abiding in Christ. Maybe you say, well, I don't have strength, Pastor Billy. I'm weary. And I really can't connect well. Can I just say that in your weakness, you are strong? And as the Bible says, let the poor say, I am rich. Because in ourselves, we are totally bankrupt. We have nothing to offer. And the moment you try to do it in your own strength, you're going to fail. You're not going to succeed. Isn't it amazing yesterday that one or two of you just had some prophetic words, whether you want to call it prophetic or not, but that's what it was. And Grace goes home and just ministers to her son, amen? She didn't do that in her own strength. She did that because she abided in God, amen? And God's going to give you more and more opportunity to connect with people. You're going to have more and more divine appointments. Didn't we enjoy Bruce Hill's last Sunday when he challenged us and he did not know what we're on a program of mission again? Weren't we challenged that we would seek divine appointments and opportunity? When God gives you a divine appointment, we're going to see lives changed, lives transformed. And so we're weak. Lord, we cannot. But in you all things are possible. That's why he said, I am the vine, you are the branches. He who abides in me and I in him bears much fruit, for without me you can do nothing. And he said later on, you have not chosen me, but I have chosen you. Amen. You think it all started with you? No. It started with God. Amen. It started with God. He said, I've chosen you. Why? I have appointed you that you should go. Listen, that you should go and bear fruit, and that your fruit should remain. So let me try and bring this all together as how it applies to us here at All Nations. If we are to be effective in this mission of reflecting something of God's glory and love to the community in which we live, the people that we connect with, as the salt gets out of the shaker, then we need to take ownership of our lives. Our purpose is to see Christ established in life, amen, in the lives of those who come under our influence. Next Sunday or the Sunday after, I'm going to be completing this whole theme of why we are a steward. Because God has given you so much to display to a dying world. But we are a steward. But one day the king is coming back. And he's going to ask what we have done with that which we have been given. And sometimes we live our lives as if we're number one. Life revolves around me. It revolves around my needs. It revolves around my comfortability in life. Whether it be do with my finance or material things around me, it's all to do with me and making my life much better and my life much easier and my life more secure. You have got it wrong if that is your value. Because your life does not belong to you. Your life belongs to God. And one day the king is coming back. And he's going to ask you what you have done with the things that he has given to you. A missional church goes into a culture in which they live. Because they know they are on a mission. And being part of church is more than just believing some rules and regulations and believing creeds. Being part of a church means belonging. Belonging. We're community. Our Western worldview, with our emphasis on individualism, is unhealthy in the life of any church. We're not just individuals on our own little island. We connect with one another, amen. And in that connection with one another, in our unity, we can go and God commands the blessing. Amen. If we are to present Christ to the world, we need to understand that we are members of a body called to belong. And we must know that we must work together. We're called All Nations. I love that name. I'm so pleased we changed our name some years back, aren't you? I know some of you still call it St. Saviors. Boy, it's getting warm in here. Is it just me? Just me? All Nations. Let it not just be a name. Let it be a reality that all nations in the world will gather into our midst and we will connect with people from all nations. I've observed that some of you like just connecting within your own culture and you're more comfortable within your own culture. That has to be broken. That has to be broken. You need to go out of your way and say hello to people you don't know. Amen. I better stop there because I could say a few things that you hear what I'm saying? We get comfortable as to where we sit, for example. It's a habit. I know I always sit at the front. Maybe I should move around too. But hear what I say. But if we cannot connect in all nations, we're people of the world, and I think we have 39 different nationalities. Praise God. Even the Irish are allowed in our doors. Amen. But if we cannot connect in a way where we enjoy community, how on earth are you going to connect with the non-Christian? What are you going to say? We can put on events. We can put on good events like the one we're putting on with the choir coming from Africa. But if we don't connect with people around us who don't know the Lord, we're just playing happy little families. We sing nice little songs. God wants us to connect with a dying world and be radical in our connection. Not to be afraid to proclaim that there is only one God. There is only one way. There is only one life, one hope. And if we are to become an authentic community of people, bringing people into God's presence, there needs to be a new sense of ownership in our lives, not just casual in our commitment, but we are convicted in our service to God. We are convicted in our obedience to God because we know that we have a purpose here at All Nations Christian Center. And our purpose is to glorify God and to extend His kingdom. Amen. That is our purpose. Whether that be local or global, God help us. I am concerned of casualness that can be creeping into our life here at All Nations. In fact, I'm not the only leader concerned. When I speak to my peers, whether it be in the town or national peers, I say, do you have the same problem as me? So what's that, Billy? I said, you know, every Sunday, I could have 40 people missing every Sunday. When I add up all the figures, if everybody turned out, I would not have room in the church here because I have 40 different people missing every week. So it happens all over. That was not the case 25, 30 years ago. What has shifted? Why do we not commit ourselves to local church? Is it because now that we can download so much on the internet? God forbid. The internet ought to be a supplement, but your commitment needs to be in a local church, whether this one or somewhere else. That is where your commitment is, because God has a purpose for local church. And you can say all that you want about the internet, good and bad. But at the end of the day, it's local church that counts in terms of God's program to the principalities and powers in the air. Amen. You know, you hear me joke sometimes about turning me off, but let's be serious. But there is a casualness. Well, I'll comment. Can I plead with you too? Now, hear my heart. You don't hear me all the time at this, but you're going to hear me right now. When Joel bought, actually it wasn't Joel, it was Mother Walker who bought our old church at Welland Street, and Joel became the pastor. And Joel and I became good friends 30 years ago. He said, "Pastor Billy, teach me how to do it." I said, "Joel, I don't need to teach you how to do it. You know how to do it. The anointing of God is upon you, and you're going to, God's going to do great things for you." And we know what God has done through Joel, amen? But he invited me down to preach at the church. I arrived at 6 o'clock. The meeting was starting. Well, I arrived at 6:15. The meeting started at 6:30. At 6:30, there were two people in the building. Even Joel wasn't there. 6:45, another two people came. 7 o'clock. Now, I tell you, I was getting... 7:30, most of the church came out. 7:45, more people came in. I says, "Joel, come here. If you're going to do anything in this town, you're going to have to break this habit of lack of punctuality and lack of respect for the things of God." That was my word to him, and he took it. And that church broke in terms of its punctuality. What am I having here at All Nations over past years? And you hear me, and you don't respect me. You think, "Well, it's only Pastor Billy again, my thing off." It's a lack of respect when you don't want to come into God's presence and you come in rushing. How on earth can you walk in the Spirit and move in the Spirit when you are exhausted by rushing into God's presence? If Her Majesty were to invite you to Buckingham Palace, you would be there early. Well, let me tell you, friend, you are coming to His Majesty. And God is not happy with our casualness. Whether to do with our punctuality, our lack of commitment, God desires better things of us. Better things. Now, I didn't mean to say all that. It just came out. So take it whatever way you want. But I think it's true, isn't it? It's true. You see, the Bible says, "Let us hold fast the confession of our hope without wavering." We have a great hope. Hold fast with confidence, for He who promised it is faithful. I know that God is faithful. And those words yesterday, boy, I was excited. I went home. I thought I couldn't wait to get it into my closet last night and prepare for today and just to mull over the words that God was speaking. Amen. God is good and God is great. God is faithful. Praise God. And here's what the writer says. "And let us consider one another." That's what we're doing this morning. "Consider one another in order to stir up love and good works." You do know me, don't you? If I have anything challenging to say, it's because I desire to see God's destiny fulfilled in your heart. That's my only purpose. That's the only reason why I live. To ensure that His destiny, that He will be able to say to all of us, "Well done, good and faithful servant." That is my purpose. So if I challenge you, well, you know it's coming from a heart that loves you, that desires to see the things of God manifested in our midst, that He might be glorified. Amen. Praise God. If we are to complete this mission of the salt getting out of the shaker, there needs to be a greater desire among you for spiritual gifts. Amen. We heard yesterday, that was great yesterday. Don't let me go on about yesterday because God is here today and God is going to challenge us with a new strategy of fasting and praying and to see the manifestation of spiritual gifts, not only in the church but outside the church. Amen. Lives changed. But you need to desire the things of God. You need to desire being baptized and filled with the Holy Spirit. You need to desire the spiritual. That's what Paul says. Desire, covet after spiritual gifts. And so I ask you this morning, what is your gift? Because God has given you a gift. He's given you a talent. And you have a unique place to play within the body of Christ. The owner one day is coming back. Do you hear me? The owner is coming back. I'm not the owner. You'll never hear me say, "This is my church." It's not my church. You are not my people. You belong to him. It's his church. I am a co-worker with him to stir up good works in your midst. That is my job, to stir you up to love and to good works. But it's not my church, it's his. The owner one day is coming back. And he's going to ask what you have done with that which you've given to him. I'm almost through. By the way, I will not be saying much in the business meeting. George is chairing that meeting, and you can be assured you will be out in 1 hour. So, because when you give me a mic, I don't know when to put it down. If we are to get out of the shaker, we need to bind that spirit of self-centeredness and self-interest. With the kingdom of God is more important than anything else in our lives. And again, I'm going to be dwelling a little bit more on this. I'll give you the date, so you have a chance to cancel out and say, well, I'm not coming that Sunday. Because God has challenged my heart. As a church, we've been really good in terms of making sure that we financially will give to local mission and global mission. And many, if you compare us with what other churches are doing in the town or compare us with Elan, yes, we're up there. But you know what God said? You're not. You're not. Self-centeredness. And I am concerned that over past years, if you look at our finance, if anything, they have not gone up, they have gone down, and even in relation to missions. You are responsible for that which God has given to you. And I know we've had a few people who've moved away, and some have moved away to other towns because of work, and those who have moved away, I know that they honored God in their finance. However, you, if you're part of this community, you need to honor God with your finance. Amen. Now it's gone quiet. I wonder why it's gone quiet. You see, it's no good me living in a nice, beautiful house. And they were in Haggai. A lovely pollened house. Lovely. And God says, my house is going to waste. God talks about bringing into the storehouse. And you know the ethos of our church is that we want to ensure that missions, local and global, will be blessed by a place called All Nations Christian Center. Amen. I saw the accounts the other week when I saw that report, and I thought, that's not a good report, and you'll hear it in the next few minutes. I thought, we've gone down. Do you know what God told me to do? Give it away. So some of you, the missions that we missed out last year, I've given it away. Given it away. Suing. Why? Because God is no man's debtor. And you need to learn again to honor God in your finance and not to be self-centered. Don't keep it for yourself. Don't keep it to make your life comfortable. God has given you a responsibility to sow. And you cannot sow your seed if it's in the barn. So I'm challenging you all to look at your finances. I've got a subject, I don't know if it's on the internet, but I spoke some years ago because of debt. And I give 7 steps of how to get out of debt. Do you know what happens if you are in debt? You become snared. You work to pay off your debt. Now, I'm not talking about mortgage, because mortgage is an equity, okay? You need to really, really start to honor God and understand that everything you have doesn't belong to you. Did you get the message? Have you got the message? Oh, well, I can do. No, 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 you can't. And if we are to become salt and get out into a community, and we need to honor God and pay for the gospel. Someone had to pay for the roof when the man came down through the roof. The paralytic man. They uncovered the roof where he was to bring him into the presence of God. I believe in the gospel. You need to help and spread the gospel. You need to help finance that gospel. Gone quiet again. You know why it's gone quiet? Because I am hitting on some of your hearts. You see, God has given you life. So what I'm saying is, you make sure the kingdom of God is a priority in your giving, in the things around you, in your relationships. I thank God. Now let me, I'm almost finished. You'll be glad to hear I'm almost finished. You see, when you give me the mic, I'm here, I'm accountable. God has blessed us over the years, amen, praise God. And here's what I discovered when I looked at the finance. We have been able to buy a couple of homes that we now rent out, and that money, good rent, comes in. But if we didn't have that good rent coming in, we would be scraping the barrel to make things. You know what we have done? We've been good stewards to buy properties where we could bring in rent. So when you look at the accounts, you say, well, I don't need to give anymore. Well, who said you don't need to give? Has God changed his principles? No. No. I want to see this year a greater thrust in giving away. Amen. I'm hoping that figure of 40, 50,000 we've done this year, that will go up considerably. Amen. Already I'm seeking ways. Lord, where do you want us to sow again? Where do you want us to sow? Now, hey, we have a good report starting at midday. Amen. And at that, I'm going to finish. Because as he is in the world, so are we. Let us live in the overflow of God's blessing, setting new goals in our missions, in our commitment, in everything that we do. Amen. Praise God. Let's stand.